This episode is being recorded in conjunction with Pedro, the Physiotherapy Evidence Database. Find them online at pedro.org.au. It's brought to you commercial-free from our sponsors at Aureus Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy. If you're looking to travel the country as a physical therapist, all settings, all locations, all across the 50 U.S. states, Aureus is the leader in travel PT. Let your physical therapy license take you to where you want to go. Find them online at aureusmedical.com. That's AUREUSmedical.com. Whether you're a new graduate or a seasoned professional, let your profession take you where you want to go. Whether it's the lakes, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, Alaska, Hawaii, Maine, Florida, Texas, yes to all of those. The leaders in travel physical therapy are at Aureus. That's AUREUSmedical.com. AUREUSmedical.com. This episode will now be brought to you commercial free thanks to Aureus. Next up on the top five clinical trials from Pedro is AVERT. The title was Efficacy and Safety of Very Early Mobilization Within 24 Hours of Stroke Onset, a Randomized Control Trial. You can find the full text from Lancet, July 2015, and the link to it is in the show notes of this episode. Today we talk with Professor Julie Bernhardt. She's the co-leader of the FLORI stroke theme and leads the AVERT Early Intervention Research Program. The background for AVERT is early mobilization after stroke is thought to contribute to the effects of stroke unit care. However, the intervention is poorly defined and not underpinned by strong evidence. We aimed to compare the effectiveness of frequent, high-dose, very early mobilization with usual care after stroke. Now, let's get on with the interview with Julie. Professor Julie Bernhardt is a deputy director of the FLORI Institute and co-head of their stroke division. She's also the director of the Center for Research Excellence, Stroke Rehabilitation and Brain Recovery, and a professor with the University of Melbourne. Julie, when do you rest?
When I go sailing.
And where are you calling in from today?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
And of course, we love that accent. It instantly gives you guys 5 to 10 IQ points. I'm so jealous. We're looking at something that you worked on, and congratulations, because your work was in the top five for Pedro.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm delighted to be there.
The piece of work we're talking about, you can find it in The Lancet, published April 16th in 2015. It is open access, and the title is Efficacy and Safety of Very Early Mobilization Within 24 Hours of Stroke Onset, a Randomized Control Trial. It's called AVERT. I've noticed catchy names in papers to try to make people pay attention to them. Where's AVERT come from?
AVERT stands for a very early rehabilitation trial. You know, you just make them up, but you're quite right. And in fact, I would have to say in clinical trials, an acronym is really important because it's so much easier to talk about AVERT to people than it is to say a randomized controlled trial of early mobilization within 24 hours. So you just need it.
Sure, absolutely. And in the top five of Pedro, we'll be talking with participants from all those works. I'm noticing more than a few having these catchy names. And yeah, absolutely. Talking about AVERT is easier than mentioning efficacy and safety of very early mobilization within 24 hours of stroke onset.
Correct.
Very smart. All right. So what were you guys specifically looking at with AVERT?
I have always wanted to improve outcomes for people with stroke. And I've worked most of my career in the later rehabilitation phase. And I encountered some really interesting work that was not a randomized controlled trial from Norway that looked like if you integrated rehabilitation much earlier into stroke care, the outcomes could be significantly better. And this became something that I felt really needed to be tested. So I spent many years preparing for the large trial you're talking about, including running some pilot studies before that. Once we had some indication from the earlier studies that this looked like it was promising and it could improve outcome, we went ahead and did this large study.
Who were you looking at specifically? Who was included in the trial?
We wanted to make this study as generalizable to other people as possible. So randomized controlled trials, you still have to choose who is and isn't suitable for the study. And sometimes those decisions are because of the design itself. Other times it's for safety reasons. We included anyone who'd had a stroke, who was ischemic stroke, so a clot or a bleed in the brain. They could be any age, no top cutoff, and they could have been treated with current treatments like thrombolysis, which is a clot-busting treatment. We did exclude people who were very sick from the study, but we ended up including a really good, very representative sample of people who were both young and very old, and who had a range of typical strokes and conditions that we would expect to see. And we were really pleased with that.
A good sample, you're right, over 2,000.
Yes, yes. It was the largest stroke rehabilitation trial that's ever been conducted and still is. And it was that size for a particular reason, not just to be big, but because the effect that we were expecting to see based on our previous work and by what we felt was an important effect, was an improvement of over 7% in someone's ultimate good outcome. And that meant we needed lots of patients. And so that's why we had over 2,100 patients in the study.
Oh, well done. Now let's get to the methods. Now remember, I'm a podcast host and a PT. We'll go slow. I'll just read the first line of your methods, and then you can explain to people like me what you did. You did a parallel group, single-blinded, randomized controlled trial at 56 acute stroke units in 5 countries. What's that mean?
We used randomized methods, so the current gold standard of trials methods, which helps to reduce bias. I mean, that's why we do it. It's people come in, they came into our study and within 24 hours of stroke onset, they had to arrive at the hospital at about 18 hours after stroke for us to include them. And then we would approach them, ask them if they would consent to be in the study, or we would ask their family member. And then if they said yes and we got the suitable consents, then we would randomize using a computer-based system, and it would allocate people into either usual care, which was one arm, or into our early intervention arm. And this was early intervention on top of usual care. If they got randomized into the early intervention arm, they would start the intervention with a physiotherapist and nurse intervention immediately, pretty much. Most of our patients in the early group started within 18 hours of stroke onset, and they would start to get out of bed and they would mobilize. So walk, sit, stand, whatever was their level of function. And that's the physio's job. The physio's job was to decide at every day where they felt the functional level of that person was. And then we had 4 different protocols that they could use as a guide as part of the intervention. So that went on for 14 days or until such time as the person left the acute hospital. And then we followed each group up at 3 months after their stroke. And that was our primary outcome. So that's when we made the decision whether or not this worked, was at this much later time point at 3 months after stroke onset. And we followed them at 12 as well. So that's sort of the nuts and bolts of what each of the groups did. The usual care group followed usual care. We collected all that data as well, so we knew exactly what intervention both groups were getting, which was critical for this study.
So what did we find? This sounds pretty robust. I mean, 56 units around the world. What did you find after going through this?
Well, we found something that we weren't expecting, which was, although we'd found positive signs in the pilot study, which was a much smaller sample with only 2 sites, we found that if we put people into this early intervention that was a much higher dose, much more frequent and starting really early, that they actually did worse than if
really
into the usual care. Yep. So it surprised us all, really, but was a very important finding.
How'd you interpret that? Because I was ready to kind of, you know, wave the flags and say physiotherapy is fantastic, we win again. What do you put on the reasoning behind that?
Well, there's so many things that we've learned from this study. Really, the thing that has been so gratifying is that, you know, we had over 1,000 clinical staff involved in this study because people change jobs a lot. We had 1,000 people, physiotherapists, nurses, doctors, some occupational therapists who were involved as clinical teams. And when we finished, they were still, this is really important for us to know. What do we do now? That was the question, though. What do we do now? So what it tells us that we need these studies, that the studies have to be very carefully targeted and built. There are a couple of groups that did particularly poorly, people with intracerebral hemorrhage and people with very severe stroke. Now, their difference in outcome was not actually statistically significant, but when you look at the data, it looks like those are the groups that we really need to have a more cautious approach with and probably need to do a case-by-case intervention approach for those individuals. So okay. We're not our target for the next study because we're actually going back and doing a final study in the series. The others, even the people with mild stroke, who you would expect to be pretty robust and able to cope well with this intervention, they also didn't do as well. So basically across the board, we found that the intensive training was too much. So what it says is we don't know enough yet about what we should be doing. We don't know enough about people's brain, how the stroke is changing, what's happening at the physiological level, and that the intervention is powerful, right? That's the positive. Yeah. Physiotherapy. It's not that the intervention doesn't work. The intervention is powerful and can cause harm.
I look at this, and from what I'm hearing from you, frequency, intensity, and timing are important, and we haven't yet dialed those things in for a patient Correct. Population like this.
Correct.
Look at that. Look at that. I understood something.
I hope you do, because unfortunately, when we write for the things like the Lancet, you know, we have to have a particular style, but I actually sure. think it's really important that physiotherapists on the ground understand trials and understand what we're trying to achieve with these studies, because together we are creating really important evidence and really important information that will underpin future guidelines.
I think you highlight something good right there, where someone like myself who, you know, doesn't participate in research, if I read this, I might have gotten to the point where you said patients came out worse. You know, early mobilization wasn't effective. And I might have said, throw my hands up and said, well, that's not good. You know, either don't do it or that the study was wrong, right? That's what we always like mm-hmm. to think when the study doesn't match our preconceived bias. What I think is most important is that you say that the intervention is powerful. That should be the thing that we focus on. Now we need to dial in frequency, intensity, and timing.
Yeah, correct. And that's what we're doing with the final study in the series. I say final because I really think we're going to nail it this time. It's a different design. In fact, thinking about this, I'm not sure how the new design, which is an adaptive trial design, will be interpreted. It's going to be, we have to educate people about, because I had to be very educated about this new design. What we've done is we've taken the information from this study, from both the usual care group and from the early intervention group, and we delved into this frequency, amount, timing issue. And from that, we looked at where the pockets of benefit are and who we seem to be most likely to be able to help with an intervention that is potentially more protocolized than individualized. So that's not to say we're not, you always still have to have the individual approach. But let's say, so for this next study, we actually have four different treatment arms that combine different combinations of intensity, frequency and amount, and we are going to run the study over time, and as we get the outcomes for those patients at 3 months, then over time two of the arms will close and it will leave us with a control arm or a reference arm and the most beneficial intervention. It's a bit complicated to explain. I hope I've done a reasonable job of saying we start with four, we end up with two, and one of them is going to be the winner. That hopefully will be how we come to a protocol that is going to be suitable for large numbers of patients in lots of different countries around the world, so that it can help physiotherapists and nurses know what to do with people with acute stroke.
I could follow that. It's just the playoffs. It's the semifinals and finals of any sports playoffs. There's four
Correct.
To two, and then there's one winner. And if, in the
it.
End, we will have a champion. Julie, just
one.
So you know, you are now on my speed dial for anything stroke-related. I'm coming to you first.
Oh, good. I'd love to talk to you more about it. It's my favorite topic. I've been working in this area for 30 years, and I have not ever lost enthusiasm for trying to champion change for people with stroke.
Yeah, you can tell. It just comes across in your voice. And I like how you break this down again. Like, you know, when Pedro reached out and asked me to talk to the people involved in the top five trials of the last 5 years, I got a little sweaty palms because I said, man, am I going to understand this stuff? And then there's people like you, the researchers, like behind this work, you're passionate about it. And when you're given an opportunity to explain it, you guys wind up explaining it really well.
That's good. And, you know, you can't do trials. Trials are a people sport. They really are. It's a contact sport. And I wouldn't do this study if it wasn't an important question to the people who felt it was important. It's important to the patients and their families, but it's also important to therapists and also to the nurses who get involved. So it's important to them to know what's going on, which is great. And then we help work with them and design the studies. And then they give their all really into this trial. I think what you're talking to different trialists who have been able to and fortunate enough to work with very passionate other physiotherapists from around the world who create a really high quality study. And they do that because they're really keen and really passionate about the topic. And so it very much is a contact, a team sport, and it's credit to everyone, not just to the people that design it.
Well said. If the audience wanted to reach out to you, is there a good email address or social media handle that you'd direct people to?
Yeah, I'm actually on @AvertTrial, which makes it pretty easy to find me on Twitter. So they're very welcome to reach out to me. We also have our new trial, which is actually called Avert Dose, which is determining the optimal intervention for people with stroke. That study's now just started, and we'll be here for another 4 or 5 years as we finish that study. So please do reach out to me and follow me on Twitter and ask me any questions you might have.
Julie, appreciate you taking some time out, and congratulations again on being in the top five on Pedro.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Thanks to the team at Pedro for highlighting this work by Julie. It's fantastic to see professionals taking such a detailed look into the best treatment available for those with stroke. Again, you can find the link to her work in the show notes of this episode. Thanks for listening to this episode on AVERT from Pedro. Find them again at pedro.org.au.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.